Thus Saith the Scripture, a ministry of Orlando Bible Church, 4505 East Colonial Drive, Orlando, where Scott Letzring is the pastor. Orlando Bible Church is in need of your support to keep this ministry thriving. Send your contribution to Orlando Bible Church, 4505 East Colonial Drive, Orlando, 32803. If you are searching for a church home, come worship with us tomorrow. Sunday Bible School begins at 9:45 in the morning. Worship at 11 a.m. Or for more information on what we believe, you can go online to OrlandoBibleChurch.com. Now, here's Pastor Letzring.
For the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:9. Welcome to What Saith the Scripture, the radio voice of the Orlando Bible Church. I am Pastor Scott Letzring. And friends, it's a joy to have you with us on today's program. We appreciate you taking time, your Saturday early evening, to tune into the broadcast. We want to introduce some wonderful guests here this afternoon. We have Lisa, we have Sarah, and Catherine, who are going to, as time permits, share their testimony of how they got saved by the wonderful grace of God. Ladies, it's nice to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And, of course, amen. And we also have a couple people observing in the studio, so we are thankful for that as well. With that said, we want to remind you about this broadcast. We are a live program, though we're going to be giving testimony in that. If you have a question, friends, it can be on topic, it can be off topic. We would love to hear from you. If you have a comment, again, we'd love to hear from you. All you have to do is call the radio station at 407-682-9595. Once again, that number is 407-682-9595. And let me tell you a little bit about how you can find out more about the Orlando Bible Church. Again, this is a ministry, this program, What Saith the Scripture, is a ministry of the Orlando Bible Church. You can go to our church's website, OrlandoBibleChurch.com. Again, that's OrlandoBibleChurch.com. And you can find out what we believe, our statement of faith. You can find out where we're located, our address, the times of the services, the phone number for the church, also past messages from the church services, as well as some past messages from this radio broadcast. And so, again, we invite you to our church's website. If you're looking, Christian, for a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, we'd love to have you come and visit us tomorrow or on Wednesday night. And so with that said, again, we're going to get the program started here. Again, the phone number to reach us here at the radio station is 407-682-9595. We are very grateful to WTLN as we purchase our airtime for us to have the liberty to preach and teach our convictions from the Scriptures from a fundamental perspective, and also just the graciousness of them as they will rebroadcast this broadcast today again at 10 p.m. tonight. And so we want to remind you of that as well. All right. Well, with that said, let's take our Bibles. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 13, please. Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. Last week we began looking at the first missionary journey of Paul. And, of course, we see it's Paul and Barnabas that are sent forth. You may recall, if you listened to last Saturday's radio broadcast, that we saw that it was the Lord who called them. And it's always the Lord who calls. It's not man. At least it shouldn't be man, obviously. But they were called of the Holy Spirit. In verse 2, we read, Acts 13, verse 2, it says, "And they ministered to the Lord." Now, you may recall, we saw in our study of Scripture last Saturday that Paul and Barnabas were actually at the church of Antioch for over 12 months. They were laboring within that local testimony. We're going to see eventually in a study yet future that God's design is that the headquarters of missions is the local church. And it's the church at Antioch that sends them forth. It's the Lord, though, who calls them. Notice again verse 2, it says, "As they," Paul and Barnabas, and the other people mentioned back in verse 1, "as they ministered to the Lord and fasted," it says the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Spirit, of course, said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul." This is Saul. Saul is his Hebrew name. Paul is his Greek name. "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And again, the "I" there refers to the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Godhead. It says in verse 3, "And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away." The "they" that sent them away, the "they" that laid their hands on them, were the elders of the church of Antioch. It was basically the church of Antioch that was sending forth these missionaries. And so it wasn't the church that called them, but it was the church that recognized their call and sent them forth. We see in other scriptures, not only do they have the responsibility of praying for them, but also to financially support them as the Lord enables them to do so. And that's what they would do with Paul and Barnabas here. Then we read in verse 4, it says, so they, again Paul and Barnabas, being sent forth, again we're through, again it's emphatic, who it was that sent them forth, it's God, the Holy Spirit. So they were they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, they departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And so Seleucia was right on the water there, and they sailed to this island called Cyprus. And then we read in verse 5, and when they were at Salamis, which is a city right near the coast of that little island Cyprus, what did they do? Verse 5. They preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. We're told here also that they had also John to minister to their minister. This is John Mark, the one who years later would be used by the Lord to write the Gospel of Mark. This is that John Mark. And it's interesting, though, again, what is the message, friends? It's the gospel message. Because the Word of God says that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And so it's Jesus Christ alone who saves. What a tremendous joy, what a tremendous blessing. And so their message was not to cure the world of hardship. That's not the church's call. It's not to feed all the homeless. No, the church's commission from Christ himself is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. That doesn't mean we shouldn't have compassion on people that are in need, but that's not the commission or the responsibility of the church. The responsibility of the church is to faithfully preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what is the gospel? That Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And so, again, it's a great delight, as I said already, to have with us, again, Lisa and Sarah and Catherine, three sisters. There's another sister. They have four siblings total. Tammy, she's not able to be here. Her son, though, is keeping an eye on the program today. He's observing, and so he's going to let us know how we're doing. Of course, we joke. Ultimately, we're doing this for the glory of God. With that said, though, it's wonderful to have these three ladies with us, and they are believers, again, by the grace of God. They all share the same background coming out of the Orthodox Church. Orthodox Church is very similar to the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, it was, in essence, one and the same. The East and the West, they split many, many centuries ago, and so they share a lot of the same practices, work-based salvation. But they all have a little, obviously, different experiences, as all people do. And so with that said, we're going to give them the opportunity to share with us, with our listeners, the way God worked in their life. And the reason we're doing this, first and foremost, is for the glory of God and to show people that salvation is through a person, and that person is the God-man, Jesus Christ, because he alone paid the price for our sins. We cannot work our way. We cannot be good enough. We cannot be religious enough. It's Christ and Christ alone, and salvation is a free gift of God received through faith, and that's the only condition the Bible teaches. Now, that involves true repentance. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of that lost sinner. So with that said, Lisa, we'll go to you first, because in the immediate family, the Lord saw fit to save you first, again, by his grace.
Yes. Okay. Well, my testimony actually starts, I had a best friend, which I don't really keep in touch with very often anymore, mm-hmm. but you know, we do every now and then, but we were really good friends at the time, and this was about 9 years ago.
Okay.
And I was actually at her house, and it was maybe like in the afternoon time, you know, mm-hmm. to mid-evening, and she actually excused herself to go into her room to pray. Mm-hmm. She was a Muslim.
Okay.
And so I just, you know, I was just sitting on the couch just waiting for her, because, you know, I guess in their religion they pray about five times a day. Mm-hmm. So I was just sitting down kind of thinking, you know, oh, you know, wow, she's really into her faith, and, you know, and it kind of made me, you know, sit back and kind of think about my faith in a way, but no, I didn't really, you know, think too much into it, but I was just like, wow, her faith is tremendous. You know, she's praying five times a day. And so when she comes out of the room, I kind of, you know, was kind of thinking, I want to ask her, like, who is she, you know, like, who is Muhammad?
Who's her God? Who is her God?
Yeah. And kind of just ask her some questions. Mm-hmm. So from at that point, she actually, you know, it was kind of discussion. And so she was telling me about Muhammad and how, you know, all these good things that he did and whatnot. I can't really remember exactly what it was.
Sure.
But so we kind of went back and forth, and she asked me about, you know, our God, and of course I wasn't really into, you know, the religion, you know, my religion very much, so I didn't really know too much about, you know, Christianity and the Bible or anything, because I never really opened it up to read it, mm-hmm. Which I kind of felt pretty ashamed at the time because I couldn't really answer a question. Here I am professing to be a Christian, you know, but at you know, at the same time, you know, it kind of made me think, you know, and so she was just asking me just random questions, you know, kind of like, where does it say in the Bible that Jesus said he was God? And of course I couldn't answer her because I never opened the Bible.
Right.
But, so, we were just kind of going back and forth. She was telling me a lot about her religion. Mm-hmm. And, but when she did question Jesus though, she did, I asked her, who do you think Jesus is? And she said, well, he was a you know, prophet. He was just a man. And when she said that, it literally felt like she, you know, was talking about a family member. Like, it was kind of like a, you know, like a, I don't know, I just felt really...
It was
like,
a shock to hear that out of her mouth.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, there's a, let's just pause there for a moment, Lisa. So we have a situation where we have two lost people. We don't know the hearts, obviously your heart. We don't know your friend's heart. But the Muslim faith, of course, is a false religion.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad is not a great prophet. You know, Allah is not a real God. And, of course, you being involved with the Orthodox Church, the Syrian Orthodox Church, mm-hmm. not knowing that salvation is a free gift available through Christ and Christ alone, you have two religious people that are having this discussion.
Right.
And yet who, though you're not a child of God yet, neither is your friend, who is working on the hearts of both of you, but certainly on your heart. We know it's the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, mm-hmm. friends, we read here this wonderful statement. It says, concerning the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that when he has come, he will reprove. That word means to convince or to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Because the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians, that was, by the way, in John 16, in 2 Corinthians, chapter 7, we see a wonderful verse. It says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. And so, you see, the Holy Spirit is working in the life of the lost sinner, showing them their need of salvation, that they are a sinner. And I know you're going to get to that soon. But with that said, God is working in this situation. And because, friends, the Bible also says that God is long-suffering to us, word, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a work of the Lord in the heart of that lost sinner, and it's a glorious thing. So please continue.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just, it was, you know, kind of just a shock when she just said, wow, you know, Jesus is just a man, and I'm just, no, he's not. You know, and of course, I didn't have a relationship with him, so I wasn't sure. You know, I just know Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and that's basically, you know, what I knew about him, and it wasn't anything deeper. But it still, you know, affected me in such a way to where, you know, I was a little, you know, I got a little defensive about it, you know.
Right.
And so I told her, no, he's not just a man. Why would he say then, I am the way, the truth, and the life?
Amen.
You know, no man can come to me except through my Father, you know.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, wow, you know, that verse, that came out of nowhere. And I know that was the Lord putting it on my heart because, you know, I just never read the Bible. So that verse just came, you know, to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of shared that with her. And she kind of got quiet because she's like, because Jesus to them is a prophet, you know. So, you know, prophets don't lie. So, and they do believe in reading the Bible. They do believe in reading the Quran, and they believe in the Torah. So they believe in reading all those books, because I think they were instructed to do so anyway. But yeah, so when I did tell her that, you know, she just got quiet a little bit, and then she just went into her religion again.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of, you know, well, tell me where in the Bible does it say Jesus said he was God? She wanted it to come from his mouth. So, of course, I'm not knowledgeable in that, so I couldn't really answer her question. So that discussion lasted until 4 a.m. in the morning. I didn't realize where the time went. But yeah, so then I took that, and I went home, and I started to do my own research. Mm-hmm. And so I opened the Bible, and I started reading it, and I never knew how beautiful it was until I actually opened it up and really wanted to. I went to the Gospel of John, but basically I was Googling, you know, where does it say in the Bible that Jesus is God? Because I knew that it was in there, I just didn't know where.
It's throughout. Amen.
Right, exactly. Yep. And so I was just coming across all these other verses, mm-hmm. and I just couldn't stop reading, you know. So then I just, you know, so I took that and I don't know, that's kind of like what, you know, that's where the open door was,
right.
you know, to where it got me.
You bring up a great point. Mm-hmm. There's only one place, friends, where saving faith comes. It comes from the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. And the Bible even itself says that in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And so here you are as a lost sinner, a religious person, but God is working in your heart. He's drawing you, and you're opening God's Word, and He's working through your life personally. And please continue.
Yeah. So he just, you know, and I just kept on reading, and I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
And then I found the verses I was looking for, and I sent it over to her. I didn't really hear a response back because I answered her question. She didn't really have anything more to say about that. So that was basically, you know, that's what got me into it. And then I kind of was starting to get a little bit more interested. I wanted to know more, you know. So I was just, I asked my dad, will you, you know, watch the Ten Commandments with me? So we watched part one and two. And so I think it was after part two where I realized, you know, I was driving back to my condo at the time, mm-hmm. and in the car, it just all of a sudden just kind of hit me. And I was like, wow, you know, and just kind of replaying everything in my head about, you know, all the things that I've done in my life, you know, going to clubs, drinking, you know, doing all these different things that I know I wasn't supposed to do. And I just hit me, and I just started crying, and I asked God for, you know, to forgive me, and I was like, you know, wow, I'm so sorry, Lord, you know, for mm-hmm. doing all these things. You're such right. a holy God, and here I am living my life mm-hmm. basically like, you know, trash, you know, and and I just felt this godly sorrow. It wasn't a worldly God,
sure.
you know, sorrow, but it
sure.
was a sorrow to where I felt like I was disappointing God in all my actions.
You're brought under conviction, and you're starting to see yourself as you really are,
right.
as a lost sinner. Exactly. You know, the Word of God says it's really neat and beautiful how in the book of Romans, it's probably in all the Bible, it's a book that deals with the most doctrine. That's not to say the Bible itself, all 66 books, does not deal with doctrine. It does. But Romans is a doctrinal book to the church. And before Paul goes into the glorious doctrine of justification, which really is salvation, the word justification means to be declared righteous, how God declares the lost sinner righteous in his state, having a perfect standing, that is through faith and not by works. But before Paul, specifically before the Holy Spirit, goes into that glorious doctrine of justification, he spends the first section of Romans upon this very point.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that all have sinned, Jews and Gentiles, all are guilty before God. The Word of God says in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 19, listen to this. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. God did not send the law of Moses to save mankind. He sent the law of Moses to show mankind the need of salvation, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's so wonderful in your testimony, Lisa, how the Lord is just doing what He promised to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Continue, please.
And I did want to back up for a minute. When we were having that discussion, she did mention to me, you know, because she did say something like, you know, oh, okay, you claim to know God, you know, you Christians go out, you club, you drink, and then on Sundays you go back you know, and you ask forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And then during the week or Saturdays, Fridays, you go back, you drink. And she goes, what kind of God is going to forgive you? I mean, do you live in a fairy tale? You know, she was kind of like, you know, bringing up all those points. And that, too, made me think, wow, you know, I felt like a hypocrite. You know, I was just like, whoa, you know, she does have a point. I can't really argue with her on that, you know. So it's kind of like, yes, I'm professing to be a Christian, but at the same time, mm-hmm. what kind of fruit am I showing that I am a Christian? You know, I'm doing everything the opposite of what the Bible is, you know, wants me to do.
Yep.
So I did kind of want to. I forgot to mention that earlier, but yeah. So then from that point, I do remember that me and my cousin we went to a concert, and then after. The concert, I went to a club, you know, downtown. And it was shortly after, I think I was, you know, saved around that time. So very, very new to the thing. But so I did. I went into the club, and I was looking around, and I just felt like I should not be here.
That you didn't belong.
I didn't belong. I was looking around, and I felt sorry for everybody. They were all getting drunk. They were, you know, dancing. And I was like, no, this is not where I'm supposed to be. Like, you know, I felt very out of place.
Yes.
And so I think that was the last night that, you know, mm-hmm. that I wanted to do anything. I mean, I felt the change, you know, at that time. Sure. And I didn't even know what was happening to me.
Right.
Like, I honestly, like, nobody came up to me and asked me or told me about, you know, being, you know, born again or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And then, but as I was reading the Bible after that, you know, getting more into it, I did, you know, when I ran across John 3:3, you know, where it says you must be born again.
Yes.
I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I was pretty shocked, you know. I was like, whoa, that's what it means, you know. That's what this is all about. Because I, you know, I did hear it, you know, in the Orthodox Church they did speak about that. They did mention the verses and stuff, but I just never understood what it truly meant.
Right.
So when I read it again, I read it in a completely different light because I felt the change within, and I was just like, oh, my desires are changing. Now I'm loving what I used to hate, hating what I used to love.
Yes.
And it just made sense. It just opened more, you know.
You know, you bring my mind to, the Lord brings my mind to, Lisa, the verse in Acts chapter 16 where Paul and Silas are in prison for preaching the gospel, a verse that I'm sure many are familiar with. And they're preaching the gospel, they're singing songs, hymns to these prisoners, and there's a Philippian jailer who his sole main responsibility is to keep everybody in this, you know, if one prisoner escapes on his watch in that time, they would put the prison guard to death. You know, there's just no second chance. And so God sends that miraculous earthquake, the chains fall off the prisoners, and the prisoners could have fully escaped. There was no way that he could have contained them all. And so he just assumed that everybody was gone, left, and so he was going to end his life. And it's sad. Suicide is murder. It's self-murder. And it's not the way out, for sure. But what a wonderful display of love and compassion, because Paul cries out with a loud voice to this jailer, this Philippian jailer. He says, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. That was important for Paul to say that. Not one prisoner has escaped. We're all here. And then verse 29, he said, the prison guard says, then he called for a light, he sprang in, and he came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And it's just neat how the Lord was working on his heart. And he says to them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he says nothing about clean up your life. He doesn't say, well, hey, you need to stop doing whatever it was you're doing. So listeners, understand what Lisa is saying and what she's not saying. She's not saying that the stopping going to nightclubs or whatever, that contributed to her salvation, and she's already said it, but just to make sure you heard it, when she believed the gospel, then a change happened in her life, and then God bears that fruit through the new life. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature in Christ, a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. And so this Philippian jailer was told the answer to his question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the answer is so simple. It's so clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Mm-hmm. Not even following Jesus Christ. That comes afterwards. Discipleship is not salvation. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, faith and faith alone, is the only condition of true salvation. And what a glorious message. Mm-hmm. And so he did. You know, this jailer, you talk about fruit. If you recall in the passage, when he was given the Paul and Silas after they had been arrested, we read earlier in Acts 16 how he thrust them into the inner prison. I mean, they had already been beaten, so they were already bruised and sore and bloodied. He had no concern about their pain that they would have been suffering, you know, about their bodily pain. The jailer had no concern whatsoever. After he got saved, he takes them to his house and he washes their stripes. A complete change. Mm-hmm. He now has a love for these men that gave him the gospel message that he didn't have before, because it's the love of God that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, pours into our hearts when we get saved. All right, please continue.
Okay, and, you know, and after that point, I was just like, wow, you know, I'm definitely, you know, a new creature now in Christ, because amen. I really, you know, my whole nature, my whole character changed, you know, like I lost many friends, I lost even family members, you know, mm-hmm. stopped contacting me, and I mean, every person I came across, I would want to speak to them about Jesus, you know, about what he did for me, you know, how he opened my eyes to something I never saw before.
Right.
And I told them, I explained it as a treasure. I was mm-hmm. like, you know, this is a treasure. How can I keep silent and not tell you about it? You know, kind of like I like the analogy about the cure for cancer. You know, I feel like I have the cure for our eternity, you know, and if I'm not going to share it with you, I feel like, you know, I'm being selfish, because this miracle did happen amen. Within me and within my life, and everybody who knows me can testify to, you know, they can see it.
And you're right. It is a miracle. It's a mm-hmm. divine miracle when God saves a lost sinner. Mm-hmm. It's not of man at all. It is right. Salvation is the gift of God. Mm-hmm. Christ paid the price. In other words, God's justice and all of its demands was fully met at the cross, friends. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, and he died for all of mankind's sin. Our sin was judged. God's a holy God. Our sin was truly judged. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just swept under the rug. No, it was judged. It was dealt with. Christ took upon himself the curse of the law. Even though Christ never sinned, the law of God says that the person or the soul that sins will die, and so we deserve to die, but Jesus Christ died in our place, and he rose again the third day, conquering death, grave, sin, the devil, and he offers eternal life to all those who believe on him. Mm-hmm. And so you're a new creature in Christ, and you didn't right away see all the error maybe in the church you were attending at the time, mm-hmm. but tell us about that, if you would, please.
Yeah, so after I was saved, I still attended mm-hmm. the Orthodox Church, and, you know, and I just, you know, I wanted to know more, and I was trying to engage more, you know, I was trying to listen more, not be, you know, on my phone all the time or trying to, like, talk to the person next to me, you know, like I used to. I wanted to actually understand, but again, and in our church, it's a different language, mm-hmm. so you can't really understand much, but there are books in the, mm-hmm. you know, pews that you can actually follow along. And there's an Aramaic and there's English.
Okay.
So you can actually, try to understand what they're saying.
Right.
So, so, I mean, I was still attending for about 2 years until I moved to Chicago. But I had a lot of questions, questions that couldn't really be answered.
Right.
Unfortunately, I mean, I did approach the priest a few times, and mm-hmm. I asked him, you know, just had a lot of questions, and he couldn't answer me.
Yeah.
So I was
and
like, I don't know.
That's sad, but it's understandable in the sense that it's another gospel. We're not picking on one mm-hmm. group, guys. We're just, there's a lot of false gospels out there,
mm-hmm.
and ultimately, what a false gospel is it's work based.
Mm-hmm.
The death of Christ is not all sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
It's you need Jesus to have died on the cross for our sins, but you also need to be maybe baptized as a baby, sprinkled as a baby. You need confirmation when you're in the eighth grade, or you need the mass. You need whatever. You need to pray to Mary or whatever the different religions are, or the different concepts are of false religion. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's not trusting in Christ alone. You know, the Word of God, friends, is very clear. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 4. He says, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Did you hear that, friends? To those who try to work for their justification before God, for their salvation before God, it will not be counted in God's sight as he reckoning his grace, but rather it will be a debt. and a debt that, of course, mankind can never pay, and they will die in their sins and be cast into a literal place called hell. And, friends, that's not because God doesn't love them. No, the Bible says so clearly, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God does not desire that anyone go to hell. He's made a clear, a wonderful way of escape. It's through his Son, Jesus Christ. Just as you shared with your friend years ago, though you didn't know the verse fully at the time, but you were able to share it. That's really neat how God worked through that, telling her that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man can come to the Father but by or through him. What a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank Amen. You. Yeah.
You're welcome. Anything else you wanted to share on top of that?
I think that was it.
All right.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
thank you for being willing to share your testimony with our listeners, with us, Lisa, and it's been a real blessing. So Lisa was the first one saved in her immediate family, and on the way to the station here today, friends, they were telling me a little bit about what it was like after Lisa was a Christian, and when she would call back home, because Lisa lived in another state and was calling home to her sisters, and she became very annoying to them, according to them, at that time, because she was trying, of course, she had a burden for their soul, and so she was zealous for them, and she wanted what was best for them. And of course, the best thing for anybody is God's free gift of salvation. And at that moment, or those moments, they weren't quite ready to hear it, and they were getting annoyed. They're like, "Oh no, what's happened to our sister?" And so, anyways, with that said, I think Sarah, you're going to go next. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, go right ahead.
So, kind of leaving off from Lisa's story, she once she got saved, she just had a fire in her, and she very bold in her words. You know, she came to her family and she told us, "Hey guys, this is what the Bible says, and this is not what it says. This is what we should be doing, and this is what we shouldn't be doing."
Yeah.
And at that time, you know, I thought I was good. Not saved, because I didn't know what that word meant.
Even though right with God.
Right, yeah. Right. So I was right. I thought I was right with God because, you know, I attended church. I did all these good works for the church. I didn't necessarily read the Bible, but I read it periodically.
Sarah, you are like so many people in this country, in this world for that matter.
Right.
You were.
Yeah.
Thank God you're not like that anymore because of God's grace and mercy, not because of you, but just the love of God. But how many people in this world, even in this city, think they're right with God because they're religious, because they go to church, because they have done some good things for other people, and they think that, you know, they try to be a nice person. They try to treat people properly. But please, continue.
Yep. So when she came to us, trying to tell us, you know, we need to act more like Christians rather than just, you know, tell people we're Christians. And we just looked at her like, "You're crazy." No, like, I'm fine. You know, I'm doing the right things. I don't need anything else. You know, we really just thought she was an extremist at that point. So it got to the point where we got so annoyed of her and my older sister, Tammy, to the point where when they called us, we would just leave the phone on the bed and just walk away, do what we had to do, and then come back, and they'd still be talking. It's like it just got to the point, like, we just had enough. We didn't want to hear what they had to hear. And
we want our listeners to know, okay, this is not a confession time, okay? So they're just giving their testimonies, right?
Yep.
So Tammy got saved after.
After Lisa,
she was the next one who, and then you'd be number three. So,
yeah.
So you would go get something to eat, make a sandwich, and whatever it is,
pretty much.
Come back, and they're still going on.
Pretty much. So yeah, it got to the point where we didn't want to hear it. You know,
right.
We thought we were right with God. We were going to go to heaven. We got baptized when we were younger. We were good.
Yep.
But there was just this one day where Lisa actually talked to me about Revelation and how God is going to rapture all the believers and how the unbelievers are going to stay in the world and, you know, suffer the consequences, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that really scared me. So what happened was I went to my room that day, and I asked God to come inside my life, you know, just to really just take over.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on, just gradually, he kind of just kept working on my heart and helped me realize that I was just a really dirty sinner.
Amen.
So... Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit, again, it's not different ways to heaven. It's the same way. The Holy Spirit is convicting at that time you of sin, of of righteousness and of judgment. He's bringing about that repentance, that change of mind in your life, and therefore showing you your need of salvation through Christ Jesus. Again, friends, it's Christ and Christ alone that saves. A person cannot be saved apart from believing the gospel. And with that said, they first have to understand the basic tenets of the gospel message, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and that he rose again, that your sin was paid for through the blood of Christ. And so the time came when you, by God's grace, believed in the Lord, and you were a new creature in Christ.
Absolutely.
And it's been neat as a pastor, I'll just interject this to our listeners, to have known this family for a few years now, and just to see the grace of God at work in their lives, and the way that as believers they're growing and walking with the Lord and wanting to serve the Lord and wanting to share the gospel message with other people, and with their loved ones, with their friends, and just with strangers that they meet for the first time. And it's a real blessing of the Lord. To God be the glory. Well, I don't want to cut you short, Sarah. Is there anything else you wanted to share?
Just a little thing.
Okay.
So after I got not saved, kind of like gradually got working.
Right. Okay.
I know I lost a lot of friends and a lot of family members that I used to always hang out with, and it was, you know, devastating at the time. You know, I had really no one. I was alone besides my family, of course.
Right.
But there was also this time, like, it just amazes me how much God can change us without us, like, really knowing.
Yeah.
So at that time, my ex, I was talking to him, and he was getting mad because he saw that Lisa and Tammy were trying to change him as well.
Right.
And are trying to talk to him and me as well. And so he was getting mad, and I was telling him, I will never be like them. I will never be the same. You know, don't worry. We got this, you know. And so I just wanted to bring that out because it right now it's just like a whole different life to me.
Right.
How God can just change someone.
Yes. Amen. So. And he does. No, thank you for sharing that. And, you know, the Word of God says in 1 John chapter 4, it says to Christians, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that heareth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The point John's making there is there's a stark difference between, again, believers and unbelievers, and the difference is not the individual specifically in and of themselves. That difference is Christ. And the reason people won't listen and don't want to follow what the child of God has to say is because they hate Christ. Mm-hmm. And Jesus himself said that. He said in John 3, we know John 3:16 very well, right? We quote it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And thank the Lord for that wonderful verse. Well, what about 3:17? Well, it goes something like this, that Christ came into this world not to condemn the world, but to save the world, that the world through him might believe, okay? And so what does that mean? The world was already condemned. Sin was already in the world. Sin came into the world the moment Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, Genesis chapter 3. Christ did not have to come as a human, which he did, virgin born, come as a man, and come into this world to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. But he came so that the world might be saved. And again, through faith, through faith. And there's no other message. There's no greater news than that. It's a tremendous joy. Fantastic. All right, who would like to go next?
Oh,
it's Catherine. I'm teasing. It's Catherine. So now there's Lisa saved by God's grace. There's Tammy that's saved by God's grace. There is Sarah that's saved by God's grace. And you're the fourth. And so what happened?
So, yeah, it was kind of like a domino effect in our family. It kind of went one, next. But for me, I was kind of in the same boat as my sister. We were really annoyed with Lisa and Tammy on how they kept talking about God and Jesus and how you need to be saved and do all these, read the Bible and all this stuff. And we're just like, okay, calm down. We're fine. We were baptized, like what Sarah was saying. But from there, I was kind of getting curious about the whole situation, and I remember reading something how a little boy was asking for a sign, and some butterfly showed up, and I was like, huh, maybe if God's real, And I pray for a sign, he'll show me something, and maybe then I'll start believing in him. But I was kind of like having doubts about him as mm-hmm. well.
Mm-hmm.
So one night I was in my room, I was about to go to sleep, and I was like, let me give it a try. Let me just pray and see if God reveals himself right now. And then when I did pray, nothing happened. And then from there, I started having like thoughts of atheism and started thinking there's no way there's a God. If there was a God, he would have showed me something. So I didn't tell anybody that I was thinking like that there was no God.
Right.
So it was kind of just to myself, but nobody else really knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I just went on with my life. Like me and Sarah were just doing things we probably shouldn't be doing because Sarah was probably a new Christian at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I wasn't saved at all.
Right.
Yeah. And then it just went throughout my life. And then I remember Lisa, she was in Chicago at the time, and she just gave me a call from the cell phone, and she said that she had a dream. And her dream, she was like saying it in a very soft voice, and she was just having a dream. Our family was walking, and I don't know where we were, but we were just walking. There's a gunman that came and shot me and Sarah, my sister. And then she saw Sarah's soul rise up happy, but then she couldn't find mine, and she was panicking and kind of worried and like, what happened? Where's her soul?
Mm-hmm.
And then from that moment, I put the phone down. I couldn't talk to her anymore. My throat shut, and I just couldn't. I could not talk to her because I just knew that all this time I was doubting God's existence, and he was there the whole time. And I felt so guilty. I ran up to my room. I just left Lisa on the phone. I just left her on the phone. She was probably like, what happened? I'm telling her this story, and then she just runs up. But I go up to my room, and I get on my knees, and I just cry out to God and ask him, forgive me for not believing in you and doubting you this whole time, when this whole time you were showing me who you were and how much you actually loved me.
Amen. You know, I think of a passage from Luke 16. We're going to look at that real quick. Luke chapter 16. This is Christ speaking, and he tells the account of Lazarus and a rich man. Listen, friends, to what he says. This is not a parable, by the way. Some would have us to believe it is a parable, but it's not. And here, listen to what the Word of God says. Christ says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So you have two people here that are in view. By the way, one of these people are given a name. His name is Lazarus. Okay, verse 22, and it says, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man, understand that's paradise, that's God's presence at the time there. We would say heaven. The rich man also died, and the rich man was buried. So both people died. One person went into God's presence, and one person went where? Verse 23, and in hell, again, the rich man, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, we're not going to expound the passage here today, but you can find this in Luke chapter 16. And then verse 24, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You see, friends, hell is no joke. It's a real place. And in Sarah's testimony, or in Catherine's testimony there, and really both of them, Sarah reading Revelation and then the fear that came upon the heart of Catherine, God works in that situation. Look at what the Word of God says. Verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, again, those material things, right? And likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. What Abraham is saying is that you had opportunity. Now, the passage is not saying how Lazarus got saved. We know from other scriptures how anybody gets saved. It's through faith, not by works. It's not by being a good person. It's by believing on Jesus Christ, putting your faith in Christ and Christ alone. It's not merely knowing that there's a God. It's believing in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and who rose again the third day. And so then we see Lazarus, Abraham continues, verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed between Abraham's bosom and between, which was paradise, and between where the rich man was, which was hell, where the flame and where the real torment was, there's a great gulf fixed. And notice what Abraham says. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In other words, there's no second chances. None whatsoever. All right, this lifetime is the time. The Word of God says, it says, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. That's found in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Listen next to what Abraham says. Verse 27. Then he said, this is the rich man in hell. He said, I pray thee, Father, that, remember, this man is a Jew. So Abraham was his father in the sense of he was the descendant of Abraham, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. So now, what is this rich man saying? I don't want the rest of my family members to actually come and experience what I'm experiencing now, because he was in literal torment. Verse 29, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. What's that, guys? That's the Word of God. Mm-hmm. That's the Old Testament scriptures. That's the, when you see that phrase in your Bibles, Moses and the prophets, the context will make it clearer, but like in this case, it's referring to the Old Testament writings. Let them hear them. So you see what Abraham's doing? He's saying the Word of God is what they need, because it's only through the Word of God that true saving faith can come. Verse 30. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Well, who was it that some short time later, the one who's speaking here in Luke 16, who would come from the dead? Jesus Christ, right? And yet people still don't repent. Christ said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, in Luke 13. And then verse 31, he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, in other words, if they won't listen to the scriptures, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So understand, friends, and Catherine's testimony, she is not in any way, I know her very well there, she's not saying that God saved her through a dream. Please understand that. What God did through Lisa just communicating this real dream that she had. Again, don't think that God is speaking through dreams and visions today. He's not. But do dreams happen? Yes. Are dreams part of life? Do we all have dreams? Yes. And while we realize that is not the way a person is to direct their life or how we're to know what's right or wrong, we get that from the Word of God. God can even work through circumstances in life. And so what a glorious testimony that is, that as Lisa, who had already been talking to Catherine and her family about the gospel of Jesus Christ, she then shares this dream, and it was an intention getter for Catherine to realize, wow, I'm afraid, I don't know the Lord, I'm not saved, or exactly whatever specific what happened in her mind, what she was going through and thinking about as she shared, and she wanted to be saved. And so what does she do? She doesn't go to the priest, she doesn't go to the so-called father, in the church, no, she goes to the Lord. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what, guys?
Saved.
Saved. You guys hear that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so Jesus Christ, we read in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 5. First it says, in verse 4, it says, who, referring to God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. In other words, Jesus Christ is willing that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth there is the gospel message. And then, friends, the next verse says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. And who is it? It's the man, Christ Jesus. He's the only mediator. There's not multiple mediators. It's through Christ and Christ alone. Again, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so, praise God. The Lord loves mankind. And it's been demonstrated over and over again. And it's sad that the majority of people in this world will not receive the gospel message. They will not receive the free gift of God that has been made available. But that's okay. We don't have to worry about that. We know God's in control, and we simply, by God's grace, we want to be faithful. Right? We want to be faithful with what He has for us to do. Didn't want to cut you short. Did you have some more to share?
It was just after I got saved, I just had new desires, and they just came out of nowhere. It's not like I tried to stop my old life and get a new life.
Amen.
It was just happened. Like, we had all new desires. We didn't want to do the old things that we used to do. It was just like a natural change that happened in us that God gave us.
Amen.
After that, I remember we were just looking, all of us, the whole family, were just looking at creation in a different way. Like, I remember we're in Chicago, and we're looking at a simple snowflake, and we're like, wow, God created that. Like, we just had a new perspective on life, and there's just more light in our life. Like, I feel like our eyes were open, and we saw everything in a different way.
You know, you mentioned the snowflake, and I'm not a scientist. This is the depth of my science knowledge right here. I'm about to give it, and I'll probably get it wrong. But the I've heard that there's no snowflake alike. Mm-hmm. They all have the same. They all have the same main parts and components or what. I'm going to stop there. I'll get myself in trouble. But there's none the same. And, of course, it's the Creator who did that.
Yep.
It's our Almighty God. What a blessing. Yeah. And you mentioned the change. Guys, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, listen to this, friends. Paul says, therefore, if any man, if any person be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's what is being testified here of again. To the glory of God. And so let's talk about that. How is a person a new creation? Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we read, for by grace, grace is God's unmerited favor, His kindness that He freely bestows. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. In other words, salvation is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. When you got a gift for Christmas from your parents, Ashton, did you pay for it? He says, no, he didn't. It was a gift, right? It was a gift. And so it was a gift freely offered to you, and you received it. Well, this is true of salvation. That doesn't mean the gift of salvation was cheap, because it certainly was not. It cost God's Son, Jesus Christ, the shed blood of Christ. And He died on the cross for our sins. And so, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God. Notice verse 9, not of works. Salvation is not of good works, lest any man should boast. But then listen to verse 10. For we are His, not ours. We are His workmanship, created. You see the word created there. That's the new creation. That's the miracle of salvation. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. No, we're not saved by good works, but we're saved to do good works. Again, for the glory of God. Notice he says that, which God hath before ordained. That just simply means God had before determined that we, believers, should walk in them. We should walk in good works. Jesus said it this way in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And so, what a glorious truth that is. I don't want to cut anybody short. Okay? I tell you what, this is a blessing. Usually I give somebody a microphone and it's hard for me to get back in, but this is wonderful. This is great. You know, I'm teasing you all. But it truly is a joy of God, a blessing of God. God has fully displayed His grace. You know, we want to go back to a passage real quick from last week in Acts chapter 11. I want to remind our listeners, maybe you didn't hear this last week. You had the church at Antioch, the new body of believers at this local church, this local city of Antioch. And the church of Jerusalem sends forth one of their own, Barnabas, to go and inspect this work. Let's see what God is doing. Again, these are Gentile believers. And in Acts chapter 11, we see something here marvelous. It says that when Barnabas arrives, he says that he found them in Antioch, and he mentions how he saw the grace of God on display. And that's a glorious thing. It's the grace of God that was on display in the lives of these born-again believers there in Antioch. And that's the occasion when he went and got Saul, who was in Tarsus, just a little way away from Antioch, and said, "Kind of, brother, I need your help." And they spent that year teaching and discipling those Christians. All right, so what we're going to do, guys, is we're going to take a short break. We're going to listen to some godly music, and courtesy of the Herbster Trio. Mark Herbster has given us permission to play his CDs, and it's not just his. He along with members of his family, and even in some cases other people who have contributed, to be able to his gift to us to be able to play this wonderful music on the air. And so please stay with us. We will be right back.
Life's burdens get so heavy, and it seems I'm all alone. I cast my care on Jesus and come boldly to his throne. I find his grace sufficient when his promises I heed. For his very life he sacrificed, and he lives to intercede. He is the Lord of lords, and when he speaks, winds and waves obey. When Jesus whispers, peace be still, then darkness turns to day. And as I'm trusting in my Savior's word, doubts and fears all cease. And beneath the shelter of his wings, I'm at rest in perfect peace. I will seek for souls in darkness, Calvary's love with them to share. Empowered by his Spirit, I will follow anywhere. For I know whate'er befall me, my Lord is in control. And as my mind is stayed on him, perfect peace he gives my soul. Jesus whispers, peace be still, then darkness turns to day. And as I'm trusting in my Savior's word, doubts and fears all cease. And beneath the shelter of his wings, I'm at rest in perfect peace.
Well, guys, welcome back to the broadcast. We are out of time now. Again, we're thankful for the ability to be able to play that godly song. Trust it encourages you, believers, there. You know, we read in Acts 16, guys, Acts chapter 16, the wonderful way that Lydia was saved. Of course, she was saved the same way. And we read here from the Word of God that the Lord had opened her heart. And here in verse 14, it says, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Lisa, Sarah, and Catherine, we thank the Lord for you all and your willingness to share the grace of God at work in your life. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
All right, friends, thank you for joining us today. Again, be with us again next week. God bless.
If you have been blessed by our time in the Word of God today, we'd like to hear from you. The church is located just east of the Orlando Fashion Square Mall at 4405 East Colonial Drive in Orlando, Florida. The church's phone number is area code 407-894-0208. If you are attending a church that is a member of the National or World Council of Churches or is identified with the New Evangelical Movement, we admonish you to obey the clear command of Scripture and come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, saith the Lord. Join with a Bible-believing church for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ.